Why do so many incompetent men become leaders? The title of my next guest's new book bluntly wonders about why women are so underrepresented in positions of leadership. Tomas Chamorro Premusic is an organizational psychologist, professor of business psychology at Columbia University and University College London, and chief talent scientist at Manpower Group. He joins me via Skype. And Tomas, you write about how we often confuse displays of confidence with competence. Why do we continue to make that mistake?
I think because it's a lot easier to observe confidence in others than competence. You know, it requires true expertise to know whether somebody is good at something or not. In any domain of careers, competence has gotten quite complex, so you can't just observe it. And yet, I think we've evolved these mechanisms, almost these kind of intuitive, unconscious mechanisms, which come from 200,000 years ago, where for most of our evolutionary history, we could look at somebody and understand if they were strong, if they were brave, if they were intelligent or not. Because for most of our existence, skills were pretty physical and directly observable. And we spent time with mostly the same people all the time. So, you know, I think we wish that we could just observe talent or competence in others, but that's not the case. We still rely on our intuition, even when we're not as intuitive as we think.
And as you write about, this seems to hurt women, especially in the workplace. Why is that?
I think for two reasons. The first is that although people in general are overconfident, men are more overconfident than women. So particularly if you expect individuals to lean in to determine or infer that they have leadership potential, well, if that's your criterion, then men will seem more leader-like than women. That's the first reason. And the second one related to that is that we are not so tolerant of women when we see that they are confident. So it's one of the paradoxes of the lean-in argument. On the one hand, we ask women to behave in equally assertive and dominant, ambitious ways as men do. On the other hand, when women do behave like that, we don't like it, and we call them bulldozers or pathologically ambitious.
Well, how much of that is on the people making hiring decisions, making leadership decisions to change the way they're doing that?
I wouldn't blame women for their reluctance or their unwillingness to lean in or display assertiveness as much as men do. I would blame those tasked with vetting and selecting leaders for not being able to focus on actual competence. The best leaders and the best managers are those who are focused not on self-promoting and on blowing their own trumpet and kind of managing up, but on actually doing their job and looking after their teams and subordinates. So in reality, if you think about it, it's almost an advantage if you're not raising your hand or putting yourself forward as a leader, because it probably means that you have some potential for leadership if you're doing your job.
If that is an advantage, though, I mean, how does it manifest itself? Because as you said earlier, people who are looking for leaders tend not to ascribe those kinds of qualities to leaders. They're looking for people who are the most confident, who are the ones who really are tooting their own horns.
So in a normal world, we would actually look for data on the individual's or the candidate's performance and even potential. So you would look for evidence that they have technical expertise, that they have relevant knowledge in the area, that if they already have a managerial position, that their subordinates and reports rate them positively, that they evaluate those managers in a favorable way. We would also see, much like you do in the world of professional team sports or athletics, what the performance of your team has been to date. And if you think about all of these criteria, and in the world of business, we can look for performance metrics such as the revenues, the profits, the productivity metrics, net promoter scores of the teams that those leaders have managed. If you think about all these metrics, which predict and tell you something about that leader's talent, they have nothing to do with confidence. In fact, we know that when people rate their own leadership talents as very, very positive or very high, that it actually doesn't correlate with any of the metrics that I just listed.
Well, so how big of a shift in thinking would it take in the business world for hiring committees and other managers to take more of a team sports approach and look at how a leader or a manager's team performed as opposed to just looking at, you know, do they have swagger? Are they willing to say that they're a good leader?
So I think here the glass is both half full and half empty. I mean, it is half empty because what you just described would be really a substantial leap from where most organizations are today. But on the other hand, I think the glass is also half full because there are many organizations today who actually do this, who have put in place more data-driven and meritocratic systems to evaluate leadership potential. And surprise, surprise, those organizations tend to outperform their competitors in their given industry or fields.
Do you foresee a time when there is more equity in terms of leadership between men and women, where females have gotten the positions that they deserve?
Yes, and I think that if we look at the progress that has occurred within the same country from the 1950s to today, or even the 1970s or 1980s to today, you can see that things are improving. At the same time, you know, you can see big differences in our current time between, let's say, Scandinavia and the United States, or Japan and Scandinavia. And that means that, you know, we're still not at a point where the norm or the habitual situation is for people to be given equal consideration irrespective of their gender. We're not there yet.
Tomas Chamorro Premusic is an organizational psychologist, professor of business psychology at Columbia University and University College London, and chief talent scientist at Manpower Group. His latest book is called Why Do So Many Incompetent Men Become Leaders and How to Fix It?